Well, hello everybody. I decided to go straight on and try to finish this rule 2.5, meaning that this is the fifth program. It'll be shorter, I think. Well, you never know. Shorter than the other ones because we're nearing the conclusion. So we're talking about the meditation of the soul at its second crisis, the second crisis of the soul, or solar angel, or angel of the presence, and how it, in company of other downward gazing souls, works more individually in meditation deep with its shadow man. We realize that in the early days, there was an implantation of the spark of mind or a stimulation of the brain as well. And along with that came two other potencies which would develop later as spiritual love and spiritual will, as the soul would express them, not fully, as the triad would express them. And when we have achieved samadhi, we have blended our own meditation, synchronized our meditation at least, with the meditation of our soul. And this would be later in our development. Samadhi is not going to be occurring until the solar meditations are working and in process, and they begin with the third initiation. Up to that point, we can aspire towards them. So, in order to do this, intelligent activity and love wisdom must be united, and the union must take place on the physical plane through the brain and etheric brain. In order to do this, the soul, considered as the solar angel, angel of the presence, is entering into meditation deep in union with all other souls who may have brought their instrument to a responsive state. So it is a group process, this downward gazing and this stimulation of the soul in incarnation, that extension of consciousness which is immersed in the personality field. We, the disciple, the awakening disciple, are that. It really comes from the monad ultimately. Everything is the monad, as I've said. The monad is the monad. The triad is the monad. The soul is the monad. The personality is the monad. But there are apparently different monads or different centers within the one monad. And the solar angel has its own center. It's not the same center as that of the less developed man that it is supervising, but ultimately all is one, and all of these points, monadic points, within the greater monad learn that they are one, identity. So the soul expressing love and abstract intelligence is at one with its expression on the physical plane through the brain. So, we have to realize that the solar angel is reaching right down into the brain. And when this is the case, the lower man has synchronized his meditation with that of the soul. And, sometimes, let's just say that sometimes at the top of the head, one feels the vibration and pressure, and this is the result of soul contact. Not always high blood pressure, right? It's not always a physical thing. So here we are, if I could just remember, page 89, when we reach the end. Right. This is the objective of our work. this union of soul and personality, this reaching down of the higher aspects and principles right into the physical mechanism for the purpose of its redemption. And let every effort be made to bring mind and brain into such a functioning condition that a man can slip out of his own meditation and, losing sight of his own thoughts, become the soul, the thinker, in the kingdom of the soul. Well, what should we call that? You know, that would be this is the come on now. This is not a valid number. Okay, I see it. It's up there. All right. But that is a valid number. So this would be then, this would be contemplation. This slipping out of the personality environment into the higher environment of the soul on its own plane, the causal body, egoic lotus. This is not, this plane is not the same as the solar angel on its own plane. Okay. Soul on its own plane. P. Wait, PN. The soul on its own plane. Well, why am I having trouble with that? Soul on its, there it is, S-O-I-O-P. S-O-I-O-P. Right, it's not the same as the solar angel on its own plane, which is minimally the Buddhic plane, and sometimes when you think that that which is now the solar angel has already been to the cosmic astral plane for training on Sirius, you begin to wonder what is its own plane. In the chart we have, I'll show it to you. This chart, this chart, yes, here we seem to have the solar angel placed upon the plane of Buddhi, as Agnishvata is on the Buddhic plane, and not just on the higher mental plane. But this was I'm not sure the Tibetan wrote this so much as okayed it, you know, said it was okay. I think it was gathered maybe by others. But solar angels are found here on the Buddhic plane. That is the extent, apparently, of their fall into the cosmic ethers. But they fell further for purposes of service onto the higher mental plane and even extended themselves onto the lower mental plane and into the brain. Thus, their sacrifice is really extensive. Okay. Now, where are we? There we are. It is perhaps a new thought to some that the soul is organizing itself for effort, reorienting its forces during its second crisis, the first of which was individualization, and preparing for a fresh and powerful impulse, but so it is, and we might say cooperating mightily with the Christ and his reappearance. All forms of life under the force of evolution pass from initiation to initiation. And the soul is not exempt from this process. And again, as I say before, thus, it is not an avatar in the strict sense. Because if it has something to gain, it is not an avatar. Now, I guess avataric descent is purely altruistic. At least in his definition of avatar, he seems to suggest this. Just as the soul of animal man became united with another divine principle, that of mind, right? And so brought into being the fourth kingdom of nature. Let's see, let's say that of Manus. So the soul in humanity is seeking contact with another divine aspect, this being love, especially. When that contact is made, the kingdom of God will come on earth if sufficient human beings make the contact. The physical plane will thereby be transformed, and that peculiar period presented by the symbolically under the term millennium will come. You know, the Satan personality will be bound for the symbolic 1,000 years. The era of brotherly love under the third decan of Aquarius, ruled by Venus, will supervene, and probably, you know, maybe before. We don't know how long that 1,000 years really will last. It's a symbolic 1,000 years, and you know, in the old days, one used what we call a relatively small number to indicate vast numbers which the mind at that time could not conceive. So the term the millennium will come, and the era of the Christ will come, and the Christ will see of his labor and be satisfied. The knowers of God in that era will preponderate over those who are simply aspiring to that knowledge and their contact, and the results of the force they transmit will be felt in all the kingdoms of nature. Okay, this is almost a description of the judgment day, when only those who are on the path will be the humanity of Earth. But that's a long time to come, some millions of years. We have to finish this round before that becomes possible. So, millennium, well, one way of looking at it is the 1,000 years that Satan will be bound, but if we're talking about the knowers of God preponderating, oh, there are many moonchain humanity who won't even be on the path until the next round. And so what about Earth humanity, the numbers of which probably are extensive? Earth humanity in many numbers will not yet maybe be on the path. And so we have to be talking about the word millennium in relation, perhaps additionally, to another time, perhaps far ahead. Dominion over all forms and the power to act as transmitters of that spiritual energy we call love is the promised reward of the triumphant solar angels and the prized goal of their meditation work. They have this to a certain extent now, but this could be the this indicates the type of development they are now undergoing. Dominion over all forms. It seems the master has some of that, but you know, where are these forms found? Are they only on the lower 18 subplanes or lower 21? And the power to act as transmitters of that spiritual energy we call love. They can all already do this to a certain extent, having, you know, both the second ray and the fifth ray highly developed generically, is the promised reward of the triumphant solar angels and the prized goal of their meditation work. We might say that the men they supervise will be able to do this to a lesser extent. When will we have dominion over all forms? When will we be able to truly transmit the energy we call love? The Christ is learning to do this now. He's eventually on his way to becoming a ray of love on the fifth or ray path, we are told. The solar angels are still older and from a previous solar system which existed, it's got to be billions and billions of years before the present solar system, and even trillions of years, possibly, if the interlude between solar systems is anywhere near the duration of a solar system as given in the Brahmanic, chronology? So somewhere, you know, in the Secret Doctrine, somewhere in Cosmic Fire on page 62, there's a footnote which gives all of this, 62, 63, 64, in there. It gives us the secret, it transplants the Secret Doctrine listing of the ages. Okay. The sons of God will triumph on earth in full incarnated expression. Now that's us again. And will bring light, therefore life, to all manifested form. So we have to note the equivalence of light and life. Sons of God will triumph on earth, and we also are the sons of God who will triumph in our own way because of the triumph of the solar angels. This is the life more abundant of which Christ speaks, and it can only become more and more abundant. Some people in the age of Aquarius will be submitted to it. So during the age of Aquarius, we will know and experience more of the LMA. LMA. And let's do it here. LMA. And we'll make it, maybe they won't allow me this. Yes, they will. The life more abundant. And certainly, during the very great Platonic Aquarian age of approximately 25,000 years, this life more abundant will come into greater expression. Okay, this is the achievement of the true Nirvani, who living in unbroken meditation in the spiritual realm, yet can work on earth. I see what the problem is. It's my little blue bracket. Okay. True Nirvani. This is the returning solar angel. We are not yet that Nirvani, although, from a certain extent, there is the Nirvani who becomes the monad in full consciousness, and the Nirvani higher who leaves the cosmic physical plane behind. Each of them is a Nirvani. Okay. I'm going to make that added to the dictionary. Okay. Living in unbroken meditation, as the solar angel does, in the spiritual realm, can yet work on earth from the not only from the higher mental plane, but somehow extended onto the lower mental plane and into the brain. The work of initiation is to enable a man to live ever at the center, but to act as distributor of divine energy, that is monadic energy. If it's really divine energy, it is monadic energy in any direction, and after the later initiations in all directions, he becomes a distributive, sphere of radiation. Radiation. Well, we're being told quite a bit here. We're being told, basically, we are being told in the same paragraph about the triumph of the solar angels and the consequent triumph of the man under their supervision. Because if you really look at it, the fourth initiation is a great triumph for the human being, and that's the moment when the solar angels are released back into the heart of the sun, or the somewhere I read, I think, the central spiritual sun as well. There are grades of solar angels, just as there are grades of human beings. We will now, in our consideration of the next rule, take up the work of the lesser light of man upon the physical plane. Yeah, so I'm really beginning to understand that this is a microcosmically written book, and that a lot of what I thought may have been in this book was really in a treatise on cosmic fire dealing with the magical process per se, but which, you know, I don't want to interfere and throw that in here too much when it's not really written about. What I want to be able to do, you suggest that we go back to my written commentary on the book Cosmic Fire, the section about magic, somewhere in the 900s there. And if we want to get more technical about it, consult that. Although later I think there are some technicalities that are dealt with in this book as well. I, who have entered somewhat into an understanding of the life of the solar angel. And here he is, a master. Well, remember this. The solar angel is higher than a master. And thus, Master DK can say that he has entered somewhat into an understanding of the solar angel. So I, who have entered somewhat into an understanding of the life of the solar angel, no wonder he says it's such a difficult mystery and insoluble in a total sense for man at his present stage of evolution. I seek to assure my fellow pilgrims, notice the brotherhood, that the passing things of the senses are but trivial and of no value compared to the rewards here and in this life. I suppose on the lower 18 or 21 subplanes, to the man who seeks to merge his everyday consciousness with that of his soul. I seek to assure my fellow pilgrims that the passing things of the senses are but trivial. Here our sense of values is being adjusted, and of no value, not even no value, not even slight value, compared to the rewards here and in this life as a human being, apparently, to the man who seeks to merge his everyday consciousness into that of his own soul. What an objective. So, you know, this is our objective and highly worthy. And thank goodness we're given the kind of proper instruction that leads us along this, well, path of worthiness. He enters then into the community of souls and stands not alone. the limitations of the personality make the man think during a period of ignorance that he is alone, but it's an illusion. The only lonely periods are the results of wrong orientation and holding on to that which hides the vision, you know. Thus the old adage goes, let go. Hard to do if you're on the second ray. And certain signs are, what should we say, a bit adhesive. And feels the hand so full, and the mind so full from that point of view, the hand so full that they cannot grasp what has been called the jewel and the lotus leading truly to the monad, the high value of the jewel in the lotus. After all, jewels are of great price, are they not? Especially a really fine jewel. So this is the finest of all the jewels, and we have to learn through an adjusted sense of values not to hold on to all the things. I'm looking around at my little study here, temporary study. I'm always moved out when Tuya has someone else coming in, but I'm on the third ray quite a bit, so I'm fairly mobile. And I'm looking around at all these things and realizing, you know, where really is the pearl of great price? Where is the jewel? The jewel, in fact, is right within the heart of the lotus, the very center of the lotus, and that it is which we must attain as we subject ourselves to the spiritual will ruled by Vulcan, which also has crafted or plays its part in crafting the jewel. You know, probably we will know regarding our form and energy system which planets or their representatives have contributed to the formation of the different aspects of our energy system. Okay, friends, well, this is, like I say, I'm finished here now. I want to go to Rule 3, but I want to start with a new series of programs, you know, 3-point whatever. And I'll just simply say that this is the end of A Treatise on White Magic, video commentary number 21, rule 3, rule 2.5, and page, I think I remembered, 89, right? Page 89 to, but what? To 90. Not much, but enough. And this will be the beginning of A Treatise on White Magic video commentary number 22, rule 3.1, page, pair of opposites, page 92, whatever. All right, end of italics. I'm simply copying the italics from the CD-ROM, as they don't tend to appear in the kind of document that I am using. So, bye for now, and we will go further. A wonderful book, and so fundamental to success in practicing our discipleship. See you then.